In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Please be seated. You would do well to retrieve your bulletin. The front cover will help you with the sermon today. You might need some help. The painting was done by Michelangelo Merisi da Caravaggio, an Italian artist living somewhere around 1571 to the early 1600s. He was one of the first painters to paint John as a very young man. This painting on display at the Nelson Atkins Art Gallery in Kansas City, Missouri, is big. It's entitled John the Baptist in the Wilderness. We need John for today, desperately, this time before Christmas, because it might better be called the season of distraction. I was in a store the other day, the two times a year I get out and go to the store. I couldn't help but notice a mom getting frustrated with her two young kids. She was trying to get them to look at some pieces of clothes she apparently wanted to buy for them, but instead they kept looking at brightly packaged toys that were stacked nearby, real high up in the aisle. As I watched, I heard her slowly increase her voice volume since the overhead Muzak stuff seemed overly loud. And finally, she just gave up, threw the clothes down, and said, "Well, then you're not going to have anything nice to wear for Christmas." Which didn't faze them at all, is evident. Neither of them heard it. They're already engrossed in something else that caught their eyes. So distracting. So much stuff going on. So much calling out for our attention. So much that just sparkles and shines. So much noise. Hardly a quiet moment. With so much distraction, no wonder we miss the real miracle, the real gift of the season. With so much Muzak, we may well miss the Word made flesh, to dwell among us. With so much that sparkles, glitters, and shines, our eyes may never land upon a manger bed and a bloodied cross. So much distraction. On this second Sunday in Advent, there comes one whose presence stands out like the proverbial sore thumb. He's an oddball, to be sure. Someone who seems very much out of step with the times and the flow of things. Especially, oh, and what he says. It's like the old days. I am dating myself here. Most of you won't get this. Like the old days of bumping the record player, the vinyl spinning round and round, and the needle scratch. Horrible sound. Made even my hair curl. In the midst of all kinds of distractions that kept the eyes of God's people from seeing the truth of His Word and their hearts from living in the truth of His promises, the prophet John the Baptist comes on the scene, and he is not distracted by anything or anyone. Rather, John's there and here, as the Bible says, to prepare the way for the Lord and make straight paths for Him. John did his preparing work in several ways. First off, he was really the first minimalist. Minimalism now is the hot ticket, isn't it? He lived a rather minimalist lifestyle. He refused to dress and eat and look like everybody else. He didn't stop at Dillard's or Target's, and his diet was something that even people back then would kindly, no thank you. After all, it doesn't make any difference how much honey you use when you dip a grasshopper. It's still a crunchy bug you are eating. Nonetheless, John's food was locusts and wild honey. His preparing work also was done by preaching. But he didn't preach his prepare the way sermon at the shopping malls or the temple or even at the wonderful family gatherings around the table. Rather, John hung out in the desert of Judea, and word slowly started spreading about him and his message, so much so that people went out in the middle of nowhere, out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region around the Jordan. And finally, John did his preparing work by preaching something that is always, underline that, make that bold face in all capital letters, always unpopular. Always strident sounding, always hard and harsh to hear. John preached about the waywardness and hard-headedness and rebellion of God's own people. In other words, he preached, pointedly he preached about sin. And to add insult to injury, John went so far as to include those who were the religious hotshots. The Pharisees and Sadducees, who were rather well distracted by their own righteousness and exemplary deeds. Pastors here ought to sit up and take notice. John's preaching was like some indiscriminate lumberjack out in a heavily treed forest, swinging his axe, taking down trees one after another, right at the base, crash! Beautiful blue spruce, tall, stately oaks, magnificent maples. Makes no difference how much better than somebody else you think you've been, how stately your pedigree, or how magnificent the nice things you do, really nice. Here comes Buzzsaw John. When he gets done in the landscape of our lives and in our world, there's not a tree left standing. What's this guy after anyway? He's after broken hearts and contrite spirits. He's stomping prideful eagles right and left. He's after people who stop dead in their tracks of waywardness and rebellion to confess their sins unto the Lord. He is after us. So we don't miss Jesus in all of the many distractions of this season. Hard to crunch and swallow, harder than locusts and wild honey, is this truth. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Our righteousness, nothing but stinking filthy rags. Before God, no one is righteous. All we like sheep, you know the rest of that story, you're living it. The Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Harder to swallow than locusts and wild honey is this truth. That sweet little baby boy in that lowly Bethlehem manger bed is going to grow up to be beaten, bloodied, and executed upon the tree of the cross. And it was my sin and yours that this baby boy willingly took upon himself, unto himself, and into himself. With all the sights and sounds, all the distractions out there and in here, John the Baptizer wants us to see Jesus. He wants us to see the reason for the season, and that reason begins with my sin and yours. The reason for the season includes the gift of the manger, the sacrifice of the cross, and the resurrection victory of the empty Easter tomb. The reason for the season remains that in the desert call to repentance and trust in Jesus and Jesus alone. Behold the Lamb of God, says John, pointing to Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. God does not want your excuses. He does not want your backpatting, and certainly not your political correctness. He wants your brokenness, your owning up to and confession of sin. When all the trees are down, there's only one tree left standing. It's the Jesus tree for you and for me. And for the world, no lights, no glitter, no sparkle. As hard and harsh sounding as hammer on nails pounding flesh to wood. For me. And for you. And so it is in these days, just as it was in those days, John the Baptizer comes preaching in the desert of so many distractions. He preaches this sharply pointed word, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. We hear that word this Advent Sunday. It draws us up. We stop in our tracks. We stand still and listen. Behold. We know that Almighty God is surely up to something. He will not be distracted. After all, the kingdom of heaven is near. In the name of Jesus, amen.